Well, hello, and welcome to the Leadership Show. This is Harriet Schumacher, and I'm so happy, I'm honored, really, that you're choosing to spend some time with me here today. This podcast is really designed to have some honest, intriguing, hopefully a sprinkle of inspiration here, on the topic of leadership and what it takes to lead in today's uncertain and volatile environment. And I'm a certified executive coach. I have over 20 years of experience working with leaders globally. And by no means does that mean that I have all the answers. I just know some cool people. I've got some insights and sometimes some things that I want to say. And so this podcast really is for your enjoyment. I hope that you tune in. I hope that you get some value out of it. And thank you again for tuning in. On to the show. I am going to get underway here and talk about feedback, which I got a lot to say in relationship to this topic. So I hope that you have something to take notes with, because this is a place where women struggle the most. I've been teaching leaders how to give feedback, how to ask for feedback, how to receive feedback for over 15 years. I've hosted thousands of conversations about feedback. And so when you have that many conversations about feedback, you begin to notice some trends, right? You see some patterns. Feedback is like a bad word, you know? It's a bad word. And I don't know that many people that can honestly say, I love to receive feedback. I love to give feedback. And then model that, like give it consistently. You know, if anything, I find there's a lot of awkwardness in this conversation. It doesn't happen enough. And when then we add a gendered lens to this, it becomes even more problematic. So, you know, the topic is like how to get feedback today. And there's a couple different ways that I want you to think about this, but you really do need to be asking for feedback, because I would bet you're not getting very much of it. And if you are getting some of it, it may not be that helpful. All right. So let's talk about, you know, just kind of feedback in general. So feedback should be a conversation. You know, really and truly, it should be a conversation. What we have done to feedback is turned it into an event, you know, and made it a performance evaluation or made it a review instead of a developmental conversation designed to help people grow, both as, you know, grow personally and professionally. And so what ends up happening, and I hear this so much, is that feedback tends to be by nature quite subjective, you know? It's like people's perceptions of you. And what happens for women, that becomes over-indexed, like it becomes even more subjective. Most of the women that I work with say, I've never received any honest feedback in my career. Like, I'm coaching a woman one-on-one right now. She's worked in that organization for 25 years and she has never received honest feedback. That's a problem. So we're working on that right now. We got her some really honest feedback and now she feels like she is in control of her career advancement, right? So I think it's important to look at a couple things here, you know. Do you receive feedback from whom, when, and what are you learning in that? If you're hearing things like, everything's great, and you know, you should just keep doing what you're doing, that is not helpful. So why I love the 360 tool that I use in leadership and in my one-on-one coaching, it's because it gives you a lot of feedback and it starts the developmental journey that we need to get on if we really want to achieve our goals, which I'll talk about that in a little bit. But in the meantime, a couple of things I want to say about women, and you know, my kind of, this is obviously well researched. It's also very in line with my own observations of working with so many women over the years in leadership roles, is that women are more likely to receive critical subjective feedback. And so what that means is that for women, performance reviews and any kind of evaluation is often a negative expression of your manager's opinion. The words that I see, and there's an interesting piece of research well, I will put into, I'll send out to you about the words that are used in performance appraisals when women are being assessed versus men. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, but there are definitely different words that are used to describe women. And so women are often, they get more negative expressions of their manager's opinion of them rather than positive expressions or like a really useful observation of your skill and contribution. So bottom line here is feedback tends to be biased. Okay. This is even more problematic when somebody is like looking at two pieces of feedback. So let's just say that there's an opportunity available inside your organization. And there are several candidates internally that are applying. And the hiring manager is looking at performance evaluations. They're looking at yours, the female candidate, and the other candidate, the man. So if Jill has been labeled as indecisive in her performance evaluation, but Mark is thoughtful, who would you rather work for, Jill or Mark? If Nadia is dramatic, but John is passionate, who are you going to promote? So the words that are used to describe women in performance evaluations have some bias. It's very common. Once you start to really look at it, you can't really unsee it. And, you know, bias is not always conscious, right? So, you know, but we need to be mindful of that. And so I'm going to give you some things to do if you think that the feedback that you are receiving is subjective or biased, because really you have to call it out when it happens, and it will if it hasn't already. So women are also less likely to receive constructively critical, objective feedback. So you're less likely to hear feedback about areas where you need to improve that is objective and like something that you can take action on, right? And so this is like valuable insight. Like how many of you, if you were doing something that was having a negative impact at work, would want to know? How many of you would want your leader to sit down with you and kind of tell you, these are places where performance is dwindling. This is a place where we're having a negative impact. I mean, how many of you would want to know? I'm assuming you would rather know than not know. And yet, how many of you are hearing that information? So, you know, these types of insights, objective feedback that is constructive, that can help you take action, that is based on substance rather than your style, is really important to help you grow. However, the feedback that women tend to receive is often vague and not directly tied to any particular business outcome, career outcome, like it's just like kind of floating in space. On the flip side, when we talk about like positive feedback, women tend to get positive feedback, but again, that's also not clear. And so it's not really attached to anything, no clear path for development. And so it's like, well, thank you for telling me about these positive attributes that I have, but I'm not really sure how I can use this feedback to help me get to the next level in my career. Like, I don't really know what to do with this information. Thanks for telling me great work or awesome or, you know, whatever that sounds like. So I think there's an assumption underneath all of this. And the assumption is women can't handle tough direct feedback. And why is that? Well, I think feedback is tough and awkward in general. Most people don't do a good job at this. Most. Okay. And so what we do is soften the feedback. We dampen it down. We cushion it rather than learning to be clear and direct. And so over the years, and so that's why we wanted, that's why I put the Fierce Conversations learning module in the Lead Her Network for you. If you haven't taken that course, it's there waiting for you. It's part of the network is to how to give feedback without fear. You should definitely take yourself through that module. I've also given you a digital copy of the Fierce Conversations book, which you should read cover to cover if you have not already. And so when I speak to leaders and I ask them, okay, what are your fears? Like, what are you worried about when giving feedback? I hear things like, well, I'm worried that, you know, I'll damage the relationship. I'm worried that they'll respond emotionally. I'm worried that I'll incur retaliation or there will be some sort of negative repercussion, which will make things worse. So if I have asked that question to thousands of people over the years, and I hear the same sort of top five responses, what do you think that means to feedback? It means there isn't any happening because everybody lacks the courage. Everybody is afraid of what is going to happen to them when they do. So if that's, you know, a common fear because we're awkward, we're worried about giving feedback, then the only thing that we can do as women to fix that is to actively ask for feedback ourselves. You got to get ahead of it. To sit back and wait for it to come your way, it may never happen. And when it does, it probably won't be valuable. So I want to put you in the driver's seat of your career, remind you that nobody cares about your career as much as you do. If you want to grow, you need to go and ask for it. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about, is how to do that today. And to recognize that when you do ask for feedback, there's some ways to do that well that will lead to a better result, make it more effective. There are a lot of common errors that I see that just are getting in your way and keeping you stuck. Okay, so there's this assumption out there that women can't handle feedback, which is very tied to this assumption that we are more sensitive than men. And maybe that's true. I don't know. So what ends up happening is that we get more kindness, we get more niceties and less direct feedback. When I have debriefed women this year stands out to me as a tough year around feedback, where I have gone out and sought feedback as their coach from their organization, from executives and their organizations. And I have compiled that feedback. It has been direct, humbling, tough, and everything that they needed to hear. Everything. Because the absence of that leads to an assumption-making mechanism and a narrative that we build up in our mind that is typically not true. So while going through that process is really challenging, it's not easy, you can come out the other side much stronger because you have clarity, right? You can take action on it. And you can really move your career forward and really build like much deeper, more meaningful relationships with these people once you have a sense of, you know, their perception on you. Do you have to agree with all the feedback that you receive and what people tell you? Absolutely not. You're in control. The receiver of feedback is in control. You get to decide, what do you believe? What don't you believe? And what you're going to do about it. Okay. So the problem with this niceness that is permeating every conversation on the planet right now, and the problem with it is that it's not very nice. So it's not nice to be dishonest. It's not nice to sweep things under the rug. It's not nice to not tell people how they are actually doing to try to protect their feelings and then let that person miss out on a promotion time and time again because you did not have the courage to get into that conversation and be honest. It's not nice at all. And so I really feel like honesty has taken a backseat in business specifically. We've lost our ability to be able to have these types of real open conversations. And we are also not paying attention. A lot of leaders, I'm like, you know, a lot of leaders are not doing their job when it comes to developing talent and having these conversations. And this is a big shift that we can lead. And I think that this is one of the big gaps that's getting in the way of women being able to advance their careers. It's just not having enough opportunities in their work environment. Managers who are not providing them with honest feedback because of some bias that exists here. And then us as women not taking charge enough of these conversations, which is something that we can control and we need to do. Will we fix bias overnight? No, we will not. But can you have a conversation about your career? You sure can. Okay. The other thing that I see around feedback for women, I want you to reflect on, you know, any kind of feedback that you have received, is it tends to kind of over-index our communication style. So, you know, our feedback seems to be centered about that. And while that's important, there are other things that we can get feedback on, like our ability to make decisions, our ability to be strategic thinkers, to be purposeful and visionary, you know, how we build teams. So, like, there's a lot more stuff that we can get feedback on other than just how we communicate. Okay. So a couple of things that I want you to think about as you contemplate building a bit of a feedback plan for yourself. I would always recommend doing a 360 assessment. For the women who have worked with me in that space, they can tell you themselves the value of that for their careers. It's pretty eye-opening, and it also gives you a model of what effective leadership looks like. Helps you to have a place to start. I don't think you should only rely on 360 assessments though. Like, it's a developmental tool, right? There's a problem when the only time we get honest feedback is when it's anonymous. That's a problem. And so, you know, as I said, when we started here, feedback should be a conversation. And so I want you to get into these conversations and start asking for feedback. You're curious about a 360 assessment, you think that's a good place for you to start, or you just really want to know how to do that, there are different ways to do it. I use a 360 assessment tool called the Leadership Circle Profile. I also do verbal 360s in an interview style format where we pick a handful of people, 5 to 6 people that really matter to your career trajectory, and I book a meeting with them and I grill them. And I take all of that feedback and I put it into a document and we debrief it. So both are effective. Both are effective. I say typically when people are working in the executive sort of ranks and trying to get into the C-suite, those interview style formats tend to be very effective, more so than a survey, because I can listen for nuance and ask additional questions of people. I can really start to see patterns and things. So both are great options. Okay. When you are asking for feedback, So imagine conversational style, which we'll talk about here in a second. You need to push for more concrete feedback. If you get subjective feedback, I'm going to encourage you to ask two questions, and I want to make sure that you write these down. So subjective, vague feedback, like you're like, I don't understand what the heck this person is trying to tell me. Like, this just feels like floating information. It's not concrete. I don't know what to do with this information. Man, you know, what is going on here? Question number one is, can you be more concrete? I'm not sure that I understand what you're trying to tell me. Okay, can you be more concrete? Not sure that I understand what you're trying to tell me. Could you provide, question number two, could you provide me with some evidence about how this is impacting my work or my team? Could you provide me with some evidence of how this might be impacting my work or my team? Okay, or how does what you're describing here impact my work? When have you seen this happen? Can you tell me more? I'm trying to understand. Okay. They may not have a response prepared. You might catch them off guard. Be prepared for that. If they don't have an example and they can't think of one, then you need to give them some time. I'd really like to hear from you. And I'd really like to understand more. Can we talk about this in our next one-to-one? Give you some time to think about it. And then you need to follow up and ask them to tell you. Or you could say, all right, well, you know, I realize maybe you haven't thought that through. If you see me do this again, do you mind telling me right away so we can talk about it? If you are being labeled or told about your style, I've seen women be told that they're aggressive. I've seen women be told that they're cold. I've seen women be told that they're too passionate, indecisive, risky. Like, you know, the list goes on and on. And so if you are being told that, I encourage you to ask, compared to whom? Compared to whom? So I'm aggressive, or I'm passionate, or I'm bitchy, or I'm bossy, or I'm cold, or I'm domineering, or whatever. Compared to whom? The reason of asking that question is to really force the person who's giving you that feedback to really reflect on and consider any unconscious bias that they might hold. And if there's like, well, compared to nobody, then it's compared to their own standard, their own bias. Okay. So questions or comments on that piece first before we start working on an action plan? Uh-huh. Yeah, so if you get feedback that isn't valuable, or you think it's too personal in the language, then you need to follow up, you need to drill in, you need to dig into it. Okay, so what I want to work on with you all right now is a bit of an action plan around asking for feedback. So I want to talk about how to ask it, and then I want to talk about how to receive it when you get it. So the first thing that you need to think about is, who do you want to receive feedback from? I would pick 5 or 6 people who matter to your success and happiness, and get curious. You know, why do you want feedback from those people? I also want you to think about, who are the people that you least want to get feedback from? What is it that you're worried that you might hear from those people? Because we also have a tendency to shy away from the relationships which are tough, I see this happen time and time again, right? We avoid it because we know that there's something there. We know it's going to be awkward. Maybe there's some truth there that we're trying to avoid, or maybe the relationship is just really tough. And so this conversation can really be a bridge to building a more effective relationship. If that person, we had this conversation yesterday in leadership around organizational politics, and you know, we were talking about that organizational life is inherently political. I have seen women miss out on promotions because they have one naysayer in a group of eight people. And so when decisions are being made about that person, and this is probably true for men too, I just, you know, work with women. And funnily enough, the naysayer was female. So we can't apply a gendered lens to everything, but it's really important that you work on overcoming those relationship breakdowns, and feedback is definitely a place where you can do that work. So make a plan. Who do you want to receive feedback from? Why do you want to get feedback from them? Who do you least want to receive feedback from? Kind of what are you worried that you might hear? So build your list of people. Then you need to think about, okay, well, what's the right channel for me to receive feedback? Email is not the right approach. Feedback needs to be a conversation. So you need to think about, okay, if I'm going to invite them in to provide me with feedback, how do I set this up so that I can really listen in? I can make this a conversation. I can give them some time to reflect and prepare in advance. And this will be time well spent. I book 30 minutes when I do my interviews. I think that's enough time. You want an hour, that's great too. And you would start off by inviting that person in. So however you want to approach them, you want to approach them in your next one-to-one meeting, you want to send them an email, you want to give them a call and explain to them what's going on. So this is not a common practice. Okay, so you need to put some, you need to front load it a little bit with some context. So you may want to say something like, I'm working on my leadership. I'm working on my, you know, career goals. I'm hoping to advance my career. And we've worked together, or we haven't. Maybe this is somebody who doesn't work very closely with you. And I think you have a perspective that I really want to hear. Valuable to me. And then you need to give them a couple. And so you say, would you be open to having a conversation with me and providing me with some direct, honest feedback? Sometimes it's helpful to say your value in this conversation is not to tell me like, all the things that I'm doing well. Even though that's lovely to hear, and I'll accept it, you can be really valuable in this conversation by telling me where I have room for improvement. I think we need to give people a permission slip to be honest, especially when we know that there's bias against women. You may need to let them know that in advance. Okay. Whether they choose to do that or not, we cannot control it, but at least we've done our due diligence at the beginning. Then if they say, and then you need to provide them with a couple of questions that you would like to get feedback on. I'm going to give you some examples in a second. The problem why we get so much vague feedback is because we don't get specific with what we want to get feedback on. So you really need to think about, okay, what do I want to learn in this conversation? And if you're going to be asking a couple of people, I would encourage you to ask everybody the same questions, because then you can start to look for trends as you mine through that feedback. So give them 3-4 questions to think about in advance, and then schedule the time. Then in the conversation, you lead it. It's your meeting. It's your career, your development, your feedback. Book the meeting, lead the meeting, etc. Okay. So the question should be like, you know, kind of specific. I've seen a lot of variations of this. I see a couple of questions about like leadership brand, like, you know, how would you describe my brand of leadership? That's a great question. What would be the words that you would use to describe my brand of leadership? I've seen questions about, you know, what do you see are my greatest strengths and how could I leverage those strengths more? I've seen questions about what do you think are my biggest growth edges or my biggest opportunities? What suggestions do you have about how I could like leverage that? And then I have a couple more here. A question about strategy. So depending on who you're speaking to, it could be department strategy or it could be organizational strategy. But I think you could ask, you know, when you think about my role, which aspect of my role is most important to the overall strategy? It could be departmental, organizational. This is very interesting because a lot of times people, you will learn that a lot of times people don't know what you do, which is a big problem. I've spoken to a lot of people this year in doing these 360 verbatim conversations, and they don't actually know what the person does. Blind spot. Okay. So that's an important question. A question about where could I redirect my focus? So if I was to refocus on something, or I could redirect my energy or my focus or the way in which I was working, where could I do that? Another question around, if you know, when would you come to me and seek my expertise? It's a great question, because that helps you to get an understanding of what is it that people think that you are an expert in. There's also a brand question, your contribution, your value. That's a good question. And how could you be even more helpful? And that is not by, you know, how could you be more helpful with redirecting your focus, leveraging your expertise, helping with the overall strategy? This is intended to be like concrete, actionable, specific feedback. You could ask a question about your relationship. Get them to describe to you how do they think that you complement each other as partners, as collaborators, team members, whatever the case may be. How do you think we complement each other? How do we work well together? How do we not work well together? What value do you see that I bring? What's the value that I bring? So it's really taking a strengths-based approach. It's important. And then another question, which I love this question, when do you see me at my best? Again, a strengths-based question that they'll be able to describe certain situations when they've really seen you at your best. So another thing that is important to recognize is a lot of the stuff that you're doing in your day-to-day job is probably not stuff that people are going to give you feedback on, because that's what they expect you to do. What you're looking for when you're mining through feedback is places where you've exceeded people's expectations and they can recall it, and places where you have not met expectation and they can recall that too. Because that is present in the stories that they tell when you are not around. And that is important to know when you're thinking about how do you reposition yourself? How do you rebrand yourself? How do you work with maybe some people who are naysayers or not really, or if you're building allies internally inside the organization to help you advance your career or get promoted. It's just good to know, like, what are the positive things that people can recall And what are some of the negative things that are still people are still clinging to that they can remember? So you're going to send a couple questions to this person in advance so that they can prepare. Then you're going to get together and you're going to host this conversation. You're going to ask them the questions and you're going to get them to answer and you're going to take notes. I have a little hack that I've discovered because I've done a lot of these this year and I didn't want to be typing while I was listening. So if you do it on Zoom and providing you have permission, I don't know what that looks like in your world, you could record it and then you can upload the recording to what's called Temi, TEMI.com, and it will convert it into a transcript for you. Great. The last thing that you want to be doing in this conversation is typing or writing down everything that they say. You want to be present. You want to be asking follow-up questions. We want to be watching their behavior and their body language and looking for the cues that they might be sending you. Are we being real and honest here? Or are we hiding behind something? So whatever you need to do to be fully present. You can also use, if you use Google Docs has a dictation format. So you can just click that and it will just dictate and record your conversation, providing your volume's up loud enough to hear it. So if you're working virtually, that can be a really great tool. So you can just sit back. You'll have to clean up the notes a little bit afterwards, but that's a lot easier than trying to, you know, type and listen at the same time. You will not be fully focused. Okay. So you're going to have your conversations. You're going to ask for your feedback. You're going to prepare and document the conversation however you would like to. People will come to this meeting prepared. I have never hosted one of these conversations where people were not prepared. They're going to give you a lot of great feedback. You're going to take it all on board. And you're going to say, thank you so much. This was so valuable. I really appreciate you for taking the time to do this for me. I'm going to take a little bit of time to reflect on this and I will get back to you, which is what you're going to do next. You're going to reflect on it. You're going to try to understand. You're going to look for themes in the feedback. Some of the feedback will not be surprising. It's stuff that you already know about. And then you're going to follow up. This is the game-changing conversation. So you're going to request a follow-up meeting with these individuals. 30 minutes. Again, you book it and you say, you know, this is a conversation about the feedback that I've received, a follow-up meeting. I just want to make sure that, you know, I'm clear and I want to talk with you about what I've learned through these conversations. And you're going to meet with each of them individually and you're going to say, okay, I, you know, got all this great feedback. Here's what I think that I have heard. Here's what I've learned that my strengths are. Don't shy away from telling people that. Women downplay their strengths. You need to speak loudly about your strengths because you're planting a seed, right? This is what I heard my strengths are. Did I miss anything essential? This is what I learned are my areas for improvement, my opportunities, my growth edges, however you want to position that. Did I miss anything essential? This is what I'm prepared to do next, right? This is what I'm committed to moving forward. This is how what my action plan looks like, right? Which you're going to have to put some thought into what that looks like. Next steps. And you are going to ask them for their support. Can I get your support in helping me to accomplish these goals? And you may want to tie those goals into a bigger goal that you have that you want to share with them at that moment about your career, where you want to go. Maybe it's a role that you're looking for, a project that you want to lead, or, you know, something that you're trying to, you know, a place where you're trying to get to. You want to share that goal and aspiration with them. at some point on this journey, but you want to tie this back to the reason why you're doing this. And you're going to ask them to continue to provide you with feedback and to be like a developmental partner with you on this journey that you are now going to embark on. So I would love for you to provide me with feedback when you see me doing it, when you see me not doing it, or I've missed an opportunity. I want you to be candid with me. I want you to tell me in the moment, like, don't wait. And they'll probably say, sure. And some of them will take that to heart and do it. And some of them will not. It's life. And then you can ask and say, so can I touch base with you in like 90 days or something? Have a conversation with you, whatever your time frame is. Could be 30 days, could be 90 days. Can we sit down and talk about my development again? Have another follow-up conversation. And they'll say, for sure. And then you book it right then and there in the calendar, done and dusted. This is how you lead feedback. This is how you take charge. So before I talk about receiving it, what questions do you have about anything that I've shared so far? Just go ahead and unmute or pop it into the chat.
Harriet, you'd ask people, kind of your peers, the people above you, mm-hmm. who are you asking yeah. this from?
Yeah, I think that's really, kind of dependent on your situation. I think probably a direct report or two, if you have them, definitely a couple of peers and some people who are more senior than you. I think people who, if you're, the purpose of doing this is to obviously help your career grow. Some people are satisfied in their current role and aren't hungry for a promotion. Some of you are ready to be promoted. And so that will kind of dictate, a little bit about who you're going to ask for feedback from. I like to ask for feedback from people who have really good working knowledge of you, like who see you in action. And I also like to ask for feedback from people who do not, and their perception matters. So these are like decision makers or stakeholders who are like sitting at that table when opportunities are being discussed, because I want to know what they think of me. Because they have a perception that may be based on a whole bunch of stuff that you don't know about. So, really just kind of think about that. I would just kind of do a good sweep and think about what would make sense. And sometimes those people who don't have really clear working knowledge of you and kind of only know of you, it's a great way to build a relationship. So you know what we were talking about yesterday in leadership and talking about those five types of relationships, Amber, that might be one of those people that you want to, build a relationship with. And this could be a gateway into doing that.
Some of these relationships could build into sponsors potentially or
100%.
Mentors. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's another big part of this is, getting people more focused and aware of you. Yeah. So I said this to the women in leadership yesterday, and I'll share it with you guys now. It's not how much you know, it's who knows you that will help you advance your career at a certain point, right? At a certain point. It's not about how much you know, it's about who knows you and what they know about you and what they don't know about you. And what they think they know about you. And so doing this helps you to get clear on the narrative of your brand and like look at it concretely and be able to say, okay, I got a branding problem here, or I don't. You got a brand problem that can be fixed. But it's better to know what you're dealing with than not know. And too many women are passive around feedback. Too many. You got to make feedback your friend. And don't shy away from the honest feedback. And if you feel like there's a gendered lens, then just be like, okay, I'm going to help this male colleague of mine who probably is blind to the bias that they hold. And so I'm going to follow up with another question and ask them, could you please be more concrete about that? How specifically have you seen that impact my work? Or how is that impacting my team? How is that impacting the overall, you know, ability for us to complete the project or the timeline? Okay. You got to dig in. And if they have, they don't know, then you can accept it for what it is. I'd be like, all right, well, you know, at least I know that that's what's going on over there. Onwards, right? But yeah, you cannot be passive and sit around and wait for feedback to come your way. It may not happen. And just a lot of stuff going on there. When you receive feedback, you know, to receive it well, which is also a skill, I really want you to maintain like as much neutral body language as you can. Do not get defensive. Do not get into a argument, whatever that might look like, about how they could be wrong or, you know, any of that stuff. You know, like I'm not thinking that elegantly right now about that, but I just want you to be neutral. And so neutral is like, okay, yes, thank you. Huh. Okay, so what I think you're trying to tell me is this. Am I understanding you correctly? That's it. You don't need to defend your actions or talk about how you're trying to fix it or jump to a solution in that conversation. You asked for feedback, accept whatever comes your way, even though some of it's going to be hard to hear. And document it, reflect on it, let that emotional kind of, nervous system stuff do its work so that you can settle down and get reflective and try to understand. And then look through the feedback and be like, okay, what is true here? Even though it might be hard to hear, what is true? Where have I received this kind of feedback before? And what do I want to work on? You know, you can't fix all of it. You don't need to come out with a 22-page action plan. You might just pick one thing for now. I really want to work at my capacity to be more influential and more decisive. That's what I want to work on. Okay, great. The other stuff will come later, right? And pick something that's meaningful to you and tie it to business outcomes and then ask for more feedback on how you're progressing towards that. 90 days down the road and see if you're noticing change, if they're noticing change. And so then be intentional about, okay, how am I going to work on this developmental goal, this piece of feedback in this next meeting? How am I going to show up this way in this next conversation? You kind of need to like micromanage your development initially, which can be very draining. And then what happens is once you have demonstrated some, once you've achieved that and you've been showing up that way and you've kind of gotten out of that initial like, oh, this is awkward and I don't really know what I'm doing. Am I doing it right phase? Then you kind of get into flow with it. Then you start receiving feedback that is positive. And it's kind of this organic change that starts happening. But you have to be on top of it initially. And so, you know, if you get hyper-focused about your development initially, but then you kind of put it on the shelf and don't pay attention to it, you're going to get what you give, right? So, that whatever process that you need to put in place to have like accountability around that is really important. So to sit back and receive the feedback and not take action, I would tell you to just save your energy. Don't even bother. What's the point? You just put yourself in this really vulnerable situation. You didn't do anything with the information, right? It's a waste of time, except for now you've probably got some battle scars from listening to that tough feedback and you haven't seen any change. So, you know, that can be problematic too. And I do see a lot of people who do that. They open themselves up to the feedback, but they don't really dig into it and take action on it. And they feel stuck and they're still frustrated. So it is work. It is work, but so much good can come from it. Like you just open up so many doors and so many opportunities. and really build better relationships as a result of this. Okay, so my ask of you is to work on your asking for feedback plan. Who do you want to receive feedback from? Why? What are the questions that you want to know more about? And your questions should be kind of open-ended, you know, thinking about them and how they could answer those questions. And I want you to get started, reach out to them, tell them what you're up to, invite them into this process with you, book the meeting, host the meeting, see what you discover, and let's work through this during the inside the network together. Let's work on it and see what you discover through this process. Okay. If you don't have anybody at work to ask, then you can ask your friends. You know, send out a survey to your friends. I've seen amazing things come from that kind of feedback as well. It doesn't always have to be, you know, work-related people. If you're just like, I want to know how people perceive me and I want to know like what my friends think are my strengths and my opportunities, then that's a great opportunity too. And I have some resource for that, which I will send to you, an ask a friend type of survey. So I've given you like two different kind of ways of being able to go about doing that. Okay. You got to make feedback your friend. So if there's something you're curious about, rather than sitting around and waiting for it, go and actively seek it out. If you're getting surprised in your performance evaluation at the end of the year, there's something wrong. Either you're making it challenging to give feedback to. There could be something about your own style or behavior that makes people shy away from wanting to give you feedback. Or you are working for someone who doesn't either feel that feedback is important or might have their own internal, you know, fears and anxieties about giving feedback. And so all of that could be challenging. You got to work against it. It can go both ways. Okay. So please take action. Other than that, I hope that you got some value out of today's session. Okay. Take care. Bye.